has done.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely receive, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Richard. How are you this evening?
I am abundantly blessed, walking in the Spirit, loving the Lord, receiving His blessings, and about the Father's business. How about you?
Well, that sounds like exactly how I am, too. The good Lord is good. Praise the Lord.
He is. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Well, good evening, Richard, up there in Wyoming, and Ralph in Missouri. Blessings from Oklahoma.
Awesome. Well, Ralph, I'll let you know when your callers call in, brother.
All right. Thank you, sir. Good evening, Pastor. Beautiful day we had today. How about yourself?
Oh, likewise, Brother Ralph. It's one of those nice fall days, not too hot, not too cold, and little windy, but very nice.
Yeah, I can't believe this far in October and we still had 80, I think 81 is what I saw on my thermometer on my car. So thank you, Lord, for this good weather. It's helping us out with a lot of things we're doing around here. So I will not complain. I like the warm weather.
Yes. I kind of hate to see the cold weather come. I like warmer weather better, but after all, that's where we live here in Oklahoma, and of course, we're warmer than most places as it goes, so we're thankful for that. Well, how's your week been, Ralph?
My week has been fantastic, and we just want to thank everybody for tuning in this evening. And before we get into some talk and testimonies, the start of the intro into Hope is Alive, of course, is the reading of Mark 16, 16 through 18. And what's real important to realize is that they, talking about believers, will do these things. These signs will accompany those that have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. The important thing is it's us, because the gentlemen on the prayer meeting were actually talking about this walking and exercising more in their authority and commanding. And I was thinking, amen, thank goodness they're saying out there. I want to reiterate out there that remember, Christians, it is the power of the Holy Spirit. It is God ultimately doing the supernatural, but He is doing the supernatural working through Christians. And I just have this feeling that God is waiting for us to do more, that those healings, those powers, everything will be there. He's waiting for the Christians. He's waiting for you, me, everyone out there listening, to take action and do what they're told to do. And when we start doing that, I think we'll see more and more praise reports. There was quite a few praise reports given in this evening, but I think we'll see them left and right to the point where it won't even astonish us anymore. We'll be to the point where, well, I can't believe we haven't heard a praise report yet. What do you think about
Amen.
That?
Amen. Well, absolutely. And, you know, we all have to, we're all coming from somewhere for the most part. We've grown up in churches where that was not a common thing. But so many churches through the years have skipped over those scriptures and just haven't focused on those commands. And, of course, it's so clear. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do my commands. And those are big commands he gave. And sure enough, when we actually do them and speak in his name, the power of the Holy Spirit goes forth. And supernatural things happen. I've had the blessing now of seeing 39 years of supernatural things happen. And I often think, oh my, I'm so happy that somebody shared with me 39 years ago. I would have missed all this. And to be in the middle of it and see the action and to see by commanding in Jesus' name that of course we see the short legs and arms adjust constantly. The ministers, 11 cases we did Monday night after deliverance, the ministers on the checklist go in and do the limb check, as we call it. And so often people that have to go to chiropractors, and some of them don't even know they have a short leg or arm, but we get to see it adjust in Jesus' name while we watch. And usually just all it takes is seconds. And I've seen, I guess, thousands of those by now. The church I started going to 39 years ago was doing it, and that's where I got my base, and I've been doing it ever since and teaching it. And sure enough, when those adjustments come about, pain goes. We just see case after case of where that happens. It blows us away, so... You know, we are to be doing the supernatural works of Jesus that he commanded us to do. So here we are trying to spread the good news.
Yes, we are. And I want to give a testimony. I know last week that I gave it to you and I called and told you about it. I was so excited to hear it and so amazed. I was out working. I was in actually in Sedalia, Missouri, which is in the central part of the state. And I walked into one of my customers, the salons that I deal with, and after doing the pleasantries and finding out what's the need, the owner of the salon says to me, "Do you remember what we talked about last time we were here?" And I remember talking to her about some stuff and witnessing, but I didn't remember exactly what it was. But as she started bringing it up, I more and more remembered. I started remembering the details. She works with BACA, which is Bikers Against Child Abuse. I've seen flyers and then at different festivals and handing out booths and stuff. So it's a pretty good Christian organization that tries to help those that have suffered from child abuse. And I remember talking with her about the forgiving and the door and breaking of ungodly soul ties. And I had given her a sheet on it and talked to her about it. And when the Spirit gets to witness, when the Spirit starts working with you, you don't really have to have any worry about what's going to come to you, because the Spirit will just move through you and say things. There are so many times I've talked with people and I don't remember what I said to them, and they said, "Wow, it was just what I needed to hear, didn't need to hear," and this and that. And you don't really remember the details. But anyway, she said, you know, after you had, as we were talking and you walked out, she goes, my customer, because she was doing cutting hair, doing a color. I don't remember what she was said she was doing. But she said it felt like my customer was just really uncomfortable. This lady had only been in a salon two other times. And she said, as I left, her customer sitting in a chair, and her customer said, "Who was that man?" And she said, "Well, he's the guy that sharpens our shears." And she said, she started trembling and started crying. She said, "I have never heard anyone speak like that before." And just started trembling. And as my customer said, she said, "I believe the Holy Ghost fell upon her right then." And she said she was just overwhelmed with emotions. And she had confided in her that that as a child, she had been molested by the youth pastor of the church she went to. And it had turned her off from Christianity. And that she had never forgiven that man until right then. And she said, I need to forgive him.
And, praise God.
And from what she was explaining to her, I can't remember all the details explaining it, that she said, "Well, he wasn't there witnessing to me, he was witnessing to you," and she gave her the sheet. And we both sensed from what she was telling me that this woman had fallen away from Christ and that the Holy Ghost had fell upon her and there had been a returning back to her. So I was just so excited to hear that there was some restoral process for this woman to move back. And she said, "You know, that lady's never come back to the salon." And she goes, I believe that God sent her there for that one time, for that mission, so she could get that sheet. So I have faith that she's been practicing it, maybe even looked up online, because on the on that sheet with the Breaking Ungodly Soul Ties has the information to get a hold of the stuff for the internet. But what was neat, Pastor, I didn't get a chance to tell you this. After I went back in and sharpened the shears and I came back in, I had one of her employees come up to me and said, "You seem to know your scripture." And I said, "Well, I try to keep up on it." And I said, "Why? What's up?" And she said, "Well, I know somebody who had somebody die in their life, and they're wanting some scriptures on comfort." And so I gave her a few scriptures, told her about the role of the Holy Spirit, made the great comforter. And talked to her about reading, you know, John chapter 14, 15, and 16, because it's the role of the Holy Spirit's really in detail in those chapters. Talked to her about Ecclesiastes a little bit, about, you know, the time for mourning and the time for dancing. And as I'm talking to this young lady, her eyes are swelling up. And that's when the Spirit witnessed to me. She's not asking for a friend, she's asking for herself. And I even asked her, I said, "Is this for you or for somebody else?" She goes, "Well, my best friend had just died a couple days ago, and I'm going to speak at her funeral," and I just had no idea what to say. So I was able to give her some things, talk to her about Luke 12:12, about declaring with the Holy Spirit, will teach you what you need to say in that time, and also explained to her, "Look, your friend just died. You're going to have some grief. Let that grief come and flow. If there's an issue when I come back in 5 months, then we can talk some more." I said, "You know, there's no real set time for grief, but the Bible says it's only for a season, and it will go away." And it really encouraged her. And I gave her some scriptures, which I know that she's going to get back to hopefully reading her Bible. So just the whole opportunity there, and I just want to encourage everybody out there to get that opportunity, and you see something, hear something, just let the Holy Spirit witness, because that's how the gospel spread. And you never know who you're going to help. You never know who's going to listen, because I had no idea that gal was listening as I was talking to her boss. I got the feeling that she's probably been praying, "God, send me somebody. I don't know how I'm going to do this." And here I come in and just start talking. So I guess that's probably what happened. So.
You're on the move a lot in your business, Ralph. You're on the move a lot, being in the sharpening business there in the different salons all over. So you have many opportunities to witness, it seems, and God's using you greatly. That's awesome.
It is awesome. It is, and it's very rewarding, especially when you have someone tell you that you did something to help them or help somebody else. just by planting that little seed, that is so rewarding. And I have said several times over the past couple years that in my Christian walk, which is, it's been pretty close to 20 years of Christian walk, that up until after going through deliverance and having the boldness of the Holy Spirit and the discernment and the sensing, I really feel like I'm helping people. Because in the past, I was more judgmental towards them. And instead of giving them the tools to help them, I would point a finger and say, well, if you quit doing this, that would happen. If this quit doing this, would happen. And, of course, that is some truth to it. But some people can't receive that yet. And they need to receive the things that that will help them have those tools to get to that point. And that's just, I'm so thankful for the process of deliverance that this part of this growth of mine in Christianity has been there, because I really feel like I'm starting to help people and minister to people in a way that I've never had before. So praise God on that. And Isaiah, welcome to the program. Are you there?
Yeah.
Thank you for joining me this evening.
Hi, Isaiah. Thank you for calling in. Can you hear us okay?
Hello. I can hear you guys.
Okay, Isaiah. Okay, great. Well, I am excited you were able to come aboard. And Isaiah is fairly new at Deliverance Ministry, going through the training and all, but he's certainly on fire for Jesus. I can see that, and the Holy Spirit working through him. But Isaiah, how about sharing how you first learned about deliverance, and then any experiences you feel led to share?
Okay. So my mom used to do, used to go there and do deliverance with you guys. She was one of the ministers, I think. So my whole life I've known about deliverance. She's always talked about it, and she's really passionate about it. A couple weeks ago, one of my friends in my church group, she experienced a manifestation, and so everyone was kind of freaked out by it, and so that kind of led me to go to deliverance to kind of learn about it, because like, I know like my mom, if she was in a situation, she would have known how to handle that kind of thing, but none of us knew what to do, so we were really freaked out. So I went to deliverance to go just learn about it, and then got ministered to, and I had a really good experience with that. You guys, it was kind of funny, I thought, you guys say, like, when you're, like, when the spirits are coming out, it's not uncommon to, like, yawn, or burp, or, like, or cough, or something like that, and I was saying, I had never yawned so much in one night in my life, so that was pretty interesting.
Well,
that's how I got into deliverance. That's how I heard about deliverance.
Did you see some changes in your life since then?
Yeah. So that night I felt like so much more at peace, and like the guy who ministered to me, he was saying that I was smiling way more, and like I just couldn't stop smiling. So that felt really good. He gave me a little sheet of paper that was like had like commands to use on the enemy, and one of the things is like perish the thought, and then like I forbid the enemy to operate through this person against me today in Jesus' name, and just things like that to command on the enemy. He was talking about how God's given us the authority to fight the enemy. Not like it's not something we go to God and say and pray about and ask for him to do for us. It's something that he's commanded us to do on our own. So that was really good, and that's helped me kind of still fighting temptation and stuff in my own life. And I actually used that and went and talked about that with everybody in my life group, and they all thought it was, like, really, really interesting, and were, like, have been using it. A lot of people that I know have been saying, like, oh, perish the thought, and they've been using that a lot in their own minds when they feel like the devil's attacking them. So I've seen, like, a lot of change, really, just from me going to deliverance, not in my just in my own life, but in, like, my friends' lives and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's great. And, of course, the deceiver, that's the spirit that lies, tries to lie into Christians' heads to steer them down the wrong path. They come in the form of negatives, and they pop into a Christian's head. And and a certain number of people not being really strong based with the truth of the word and who they are in Jesus, they'll follow those lies. And a certain number of the Christian body does that. So we run into it constantly. So the more you can get the word under your belt and stand on the truth of the word of who you are, the more you'll counter that. But that's a great way to do it, is when those negatives come into your head, perish the thought.
Mm-hmm.
Don't buy it. So many people buy it, you know. Even the suicide thoughts coming from the enemy into a person's head, they'll keep saying, do it, all that kind of stuff. So it's time we learn to perish those negative thoughts that the enemy's pushing out. So many of the people do not. Well, gosh, I can see you're going to have a lot of opportunity to share with what you're learning and ministering to people around you. Just think of all the years you have ahead in your life.
Mm-hmm. You know, funny story with that, kind of, actually. So something that's interested me, like, right now is, like, healing. Like, I think, like, the fact that, like, we can heal people through, like, God and everything, the Holy Spirit can, like, heal people through it. Like, we can pray for people and people can get healed. Like, when I was with you guys on Monday, everyone was talking about healing. Like, it's a completely normal thing. But, like, I've never been around that, really. So, like, just to think about that is, like, really cool. And then one of your guys, I think his name was Jerry, he came and spoke to me. And he was telling me that he felt like the Holy Spirit was telling him that I need to practice. And so I'm like, okay, so could I give me some opportunities to practice a little bit? And so I'm in college, and we have fall break on Thursday and Friday. And so Friday, me and a couple of my friends, actually, we're going to just go around town. We're going to go downtown. We're going to go to the mall. And we're just going to go start praying for people and just ask people if they need anything to be prayed for. Just tell them that we love them. Just tell them Jesus. Just kind of spread the gospel, you know? So, like, I'm definitely getting more bold and wanting to walk out and all this from being part of, like, going to deliverance and learning about these things.
Praise God, yes. The world is waiting for you, Isaiah. Well, you sat in with me on the case I had Monday night, which was kind of a tough case in a lot of ways. We got through it, but did you have any observations on the guy we ministered to?
Yeah, well, so one thing that I noticed, I remember when we were going through the basic training, you were talking about, like, a lot of the times people like to, like, talk, like, a lot, and just talk and talk and talk and talk, and that ended up being, like, that exact case. Like, that dude was, like, talking, like, would not, like, stop talking. Like, I know, like, there were some times you were about to say something, he just kept on telling a story or whatever, and it was, like, it was kind of sad almost to me, because he just sat, like, his life just seemed so broken. I'm like, man, like, his whole family probably needed to come to deliverance. Like, it was just really sad, and just the stuff that he'd gone through and everything, and I was just like, wow, like, God really needs to work in this guy's life. And one thing that I thought was cool was when you baptized him in the Holy Spirit. That was actually a scary thing for me, because you said, like, put my hands on him and start speaking in tongues and everything. And you asked me if I'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I have, but I've only prayed in tongues, like, one time before that. So, like, I was, like, kind of nervous and, like, oh, man, what if it doesn't come out or whatever. So that was also kind of scary but fun for me. So, like, we started praying over and speaking in tongues, and he started getting some things out, and it was just a really cool experience for me.
Well, that's cool. I of course, assume you've been praying in tongues a long time, so that's pretty neat. Well, you got into the middle of the action, Isaiah, and the Holy Spirit is always there. And as you lay on of hands, as we were on with him, there were two people sitting in, two trainees. And when it came time to administer the baptism, the Holy Spirit was speaking in tongues at the end of the deliverance. And we all laid hands on him and took him through the prayer where he asked Jesus to baptize him in the Holy Spirit. And we started speaking in tongues, and you did too, Isaiah. And so he did as well. He had various mumblings going there, which is about how I started 39 years ago. I didn't have much of a tongue to start with, but I found the as days and weeks and months went on, and I would pray in that what I had, it kept expanding. And of course today I can pray for an hour in the Holy Spirit if I want to. And of course we've learned it's another asset in your spiritual warfare, that evil spirits, we learned this from the demons when they were under interrogation, that the praying in the tongues hurts them. So therefore,
yeah, when you said that, I thought that was like really, really, really cool.
So we have all these tools from the cross to use on the enemy. So I believe that guy got a pretty good overhaul. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he did too. I hope he did. Are you going to get a hold of him, like, in the future, just to talk to him about how it's going?
Well, you know, he did not leave any phone numbers. I don't know if he's living on the street. I couldn't quite get a handle on it. He came with a backpack, and but on his blue card, he didn't list any phone numbers. He did list an email, so maybe he goes into the library or someplace and gets online. Well, so you're going to keep learning. Isaiah setting in on more and more cases as part of the training. You come over on Monday nights and get training, and then set in with different team leaders over a period of time, and at some point you'll feel comfortable in leading a case.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm super pumped to be able to do this.
I can tell you're fired up. You know, you're kind of like I was once I saw this. Once I tasted of the power of the Holy Spirit, I wanted to do it more. That was 39 years ago, so you got many years ahead of you there, Isaiah. Well, do you have anything else you'd like to touch on what you've seen or experiences, Isaiah?
Not that I know of. I just think the thing that's like the coolest thing to me is, right, I told you, Jay, he said that the Holy Spirit was just speaking to him and telling him that he didn't practice. And like, I just thought that was really cool. Like, the Holy Spirit's talking to him about me, and I'm like, man, I can't wait till like the Holy Spirit talks to me like that clearly and stuff. So I think it's fun to be around all you guys who are like these spirit-filled people just like doing this stuff. So I'm just really excited to be able to do what you guys are doing.
And Isaiah, think how many young people need ministry. You obviously see that a lot around you.
Mm-hmm.
They're everywhere, and there's so many getting off the right track and going this way and going that way and following witchcraft and what have you. So you're in a position to minister to many, many people around you. Well, in winding up here, do you have anything else to say to the people before we sign off with you?
I would just say, if there's anybody on here that's like hesitant to go to deliverance, because I know there's people who are like, oh, demons or whatever, I don't want anything to do with that spirit, that's creepy. You know, I think it's just like, or like some people even get turned off by like just thinking about like supernatural stuff. So I'd say if there's anyone on here listening, so just like take a leap of faith, have some courage, and just go try it out, go check it out. It'll be a great experience and feel way more peaceful afterwards.
Thanks, Isaiah. And by the way, say hello to your mom. I wish she was helping us again. She helped us for some years there as a team leader at Deliverance Ministries.
Yeah, no, I believe she's listening in right now, probably. I think she is.
All right. Well, Carolyn, come back and help us. Maybe she will.
Yeah,
well,
maybe.
Have a good one there, brother.
Thank you for doing this, Isaiah. Thank you guys for letting me come and talk.
You bet.
You're welcome. Well, it's good to, it's kind of good and encouraging to see a younger man getting started in this. I don't know how old he is, but I wish someone had shared this with me when I was in my, you know, either my late teens or early 20s. I think about just how much easier, how much better my life would have been. And a lot of mistakes that maybe wouldn't have been there.
So true for all of us. And, you know, I was age 44 before I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit and got introduced to this works of Jesus. But at least someone finally did share. And it could be I never was ready earlier to receive it. That's possible, too. But it's wonderful to get it when you're young and then think what's ahead of you and what you can do.
Amen. And if anybody wants to call in this evening and has any questions, this is one of the rare nights where we only had one caller. And so you could call in tonight if you'd like and maybe ask a question or two. It's you can reach us at 307-745-5913 if there's any questions you have regarding deliverance. The website is deliveranceusa.com. On there is the tools that are available that we've talked about, and you hear a lot of the people witness, especially gone through the war room training, the team leaders. Most of those tools that they are trained, they're trained with in the war room, are available online. And you could also get the book Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, which is written by Pastor Cox, that has his 30 plus years of experience laid down in it. And it's just a manual there for doing the steps that are needed to help set people free from the spirits that bind them.
Amen. Now, it took us a number of years to get those steps together that are in the book. In the beginning, all we knew to do was just try to figure out the names, likely names of the spirits, which is generally pretty easy. You know, if somebody's locked up with fear, and there's probably spirits of fear there, you know, and anger, and okay, you call it that, violence, and you just name them by the function that they're causing, or the problem that they're causing in the person. And so that was all we knew in the beginning, and then slowly we started learning about inner healing and how necessary that is, and in the dealing with the traumas and memories of the past, where people are carrying the bad feelings from those events. Demons, of course, can feed off of those bad feelings, and even had the entry, the name of the, whatever the feeling is, the name of that often can be actually the name of the spirit that had entry at that time. And
I thought you were done. So it's amazing how much the trauma in people's life can cause that. And obviously, if you have the trauma of maybe being molested as a child, or child abuse, or maybe even a kidnapping or something, yeah, there's that kind of trauma. But even the things that you would think wouldn't be that big of a deal to a child can be a huge deal. And that is an opportunity that's there that a lot of times be revealed when they take them through the inner healing process, that was the root cause for all those years of having issues. And, you know, the trauma could be something as simple as, what was the gentleman that had the trouble with the storms? I guess there was something when he was a child, if I remember
correctly.
Well, yes,
he was like 5 years old. As Anthony, when he was 5 years old, they were driving in a really bad storm, and really scared him. He would get down onto on the floor. It was before the days of the seatbelts, but he would get down on the floor in the back seat, you know, and try to hide from the storm. But it bothered him so bad that it was a huge torment to him. Whenever there was a storm around, he was tormented. So, but the root went back to that in the ministry session. And there was another man recently that, you know, to those of us around, you wouldn't think it to be such a big deal, but to a child, many situations can be. In his case, he had a huge spirit of fear. And so when I asked Jesus to take him back to the earliest root earliest source of the fear, he finally locked onto a memory, and many times people haven't even thought of this, the Lord just showed it to him, a memory that when it was his first day to go to grade school. Well, you know, we can all think back to that first day probably. It was coming out of the nest, you know. It seemed to be like a trauma. Well, to him, it was a big trauma, and he had to ride the bus, of all things. And so his mom takes him to where the bus comes to get him, and he's really locked up with fear, and she says, no, don't worry, I'll follow the bus and the car. I'll be right behind you. Well, he gets on the bus, and it takes off, and he keeps looking out the back and looking out the back, and he can't see his mom. If she was there, she got caught up in traffic or something. But he couldn't see her. And that was the entry of this spirit of fear. So when he identified that fear in that scene, and he could feel that fear balled up inside, he was able to identify some other bad feelings as well. He could feel those feelings balled up in his stomach area. And so I had him take his hand, the spiritual hand, the spiritual fingers, and just go on the inside there and get hold of those balled up bad feelings, that fear and all those others. And as he got his spiritual fingers around him and with the instructions to now pull them out and hand them up to Jesus. 1 Peter 5:7, we can cast our cares upon him, for he cares for us. And so as he did that, Jesus supernaturally always takes them. And what that does, it pulls the rug out from under these demons, in this case fear and those other bad feelings, which would represent spirits as well. It pulled the rug out from under them. In other words, it closed the door, canceled the legal right that they had to come in. And then a certain number of cases, those spirits will leave at that time. But if they haven't gone, they don't have any rights left. All we got to do is, and when we get in the deliverance part, is tell them to go, and they'll blow right out. They're easy to go because they don't have any rights to be there. So that's the basics of some of that inner healing. But, you know, to think about it, that didn't, to the adults around him, it wouldn't seem to be a big deal. But to a child, it is, or was in his case. And there's other things just like that that we as adults are not too sensitive a lot of times to young children and those kinds of things like that. So that's a good lesson for all of us. And then, of course, once we do inner healing and identify other traumas of the past, and they hand those feelings over to Jesus, finally we get into actually doing the deliverance, working the list that they filled out on the, it's over a couple of hundred problem names that turn out to be the names of spirits. And of course there's a certain grouping of about three dozen that we see are usually always there, and that's a minimum, about three dozen. And we'll work that list and those that they circled as well, and they get this stuff cast out. And they yawn, cough, burp, they feel them move around, a lot of people, and they know it came out. They come out the top of their head, sometimes run down an arm, out the fingers, all that. And to the minister, it's an amazing phenomena that we're there doing this in his name as just normal Christians, and then seeing and hearing the results of how their lives were turned around. Well, I ministered to a woman a couple of, 2 weeks ago, and they were having marriage problems, and same kind of deal in the inner healing. We were able to get hold of a number of roots, some anger issues and others. By that inner healing, the Lord took her back to those roots, and we dealt with them that same way, and then, of course, moved into deliverance after that. And I talked to her yesterday, and everything is going really well. She was telling me the peace that she has, and of course that has to help the marriage. Praise God.
Praise
well, there
God.
We are.
Praise God. And that is so rewarding when you hear a marriage that was that something was done to save a marriage, because our Lord hates divorce. He understands it happens. He understands that there's, and he gave provisions in his law for it, but his intention was for man and wife to be joined as one flesh and never separate. So whenever I hear that a marriage has been restored, I just give thanks to Jesus for that, because my marriage is restored because of going through deliverance. And so I kind of have a tender heart for it. But, you know, there's just the divorce is rampant in this country. A lot of it has to do with people get married and probably for the wrong reasons, or get the people get married like they change clothes. You know, it's too easy to get a divorce in this country. That's part of the reasons too, because we got a lot of sin problem. But those that do get married don't stay together because of the spirits that affect them, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the jealousy, all those different spirits just kind of chewing on each other's ears. It's nearly hard. It's nearly wonder that any marriage stays together today, especially with his just all the issues that we have in this country today. And casting all your cares, of course, it says in the 1 Peter 5:7, says in the New American Standard, says casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So that's a different way that's read. But what I think is neat about this passage is right after it. It says right after it, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So it seems to me it keys right in that the devil, Satan, the great adversary, and the demons that seem to follow him will look for those anxieties and those cares to find a place to get in there and devour. And that scripture corresponds, it's actually right out of the Cast Your Cares, is right out of the book of Psalms, and that's Psalms 55:22, and it says, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. So those traumas, those feelings, those bitterness, those angers, we can cast upon the Lord. And what is so thankful and such a great thing is we have a living God who became flesh and dwelt among us and was tempted in all things, suffered in all things. It's not like we have a God who doesn't understand us. He came down and showed us how it could be done, yet without sin, became that perfect sacrifice for us and redeemed us at the cross, freed us from a lot of these things. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. But that's what's so great about Christianity and great about doing these works is we have a God who understands and cares. And as I told that that young lady last week about mourning, I said, we have a God who understands the loss. You know, and when he lost, when Jesus lost Lazarus, he said he wept. He wept. So our Lord understands that we have those feelings, and he is so wonderful and so gracious that if you just take that bitterness, you take that anger, you take that fear, you take that anxiety, you take whatever that burden is, and just cast it to the Lord. He said he will take it. Those are the Holy Spirit-inspired words written by the Apostle Peter, which was actually repeating what was written by David in the book of Psalms, which was also Holy Spirit-inspired.
And interesting, too, Ralph, also interesting, in that 1 Peter 5:8, where it says, our adversary, the devil, stalketh around like a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour. And then it goes on to say, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are coming about with the brethren, but who we are to resist. You know, we were talking about commanding earlier, and there's another example of how we are to be commanding. You're resisting. You're not praying to the Father in Jesus' name, do this. We ask you that you do this or that. We are commanding, using this power of attorney we've been given in, from our Jesus, John 14:12, where he said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. I mean, we have these commands to do, to speak in his name. It just blows me away constantly that we as normal Christians can do this, these kinds of things and minister directly, and we see it happen right in front of us over and over and over. That lady I was talking about in the marriage, so often we have seen even just one person get ministry, and the marriage will turn around. Of course, another thing we did, I did with her was, as we always do, is the breaking of any ungodly soul ties that have formed up with the spouse. And because the enemy can be stirring the pot between the two spouses. And so there's a prayer we take people through in doing that, and that always is a powerful step. It's a huge area of relief. In fact, that's the very first area we actually do after the interview part on our checklist as we move into the breaking of ungodly soul ties and then into the inner healing. But we do a little inner healing even with the soul ties. So we're learning, and it is a high adventure, isn't it?
It is, it is. And that breaking ungodly soul ties can be found on the website if anybody out there is not familiar with it. That's deliveranceusa.com. It'll be in the ministry tools. And also it's in the pastor's book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, which can be obtained from Scriptures for America. You can call the office at 307-742-7582 and get with Richard. Rich will be more than happy to get that out to you. Also, it's every newsletter comes out, it'll be in order form, and I think it's been in most of those order forms for the past year or so. So that book is there, and that soul ties, that is such a powerful, powerful prayer. And it's to break those ungodly things that'll happen between a couple, the sin that'll come from bickering, or the sin that'll come from infidelity and other things. And part of it is you take your responsibility, because you can't overcome these things if you don't admit, yes, I have sinned, I need to repent of this. And then part of that repentance is you admit your wrongs, and then you take the those bitterness, the hardships, the feelings are there, and the prayer says to cup your hands and kind of visualize putting this putting those in there and just handing them up to Jesus. And I know, Pastor, I've seen it, I'm sure you've seen it thousands of times. You can literally, when that burden's taken away, see a smile come to their face. I've seen people, you can tell right at that point where Jesus took it for them, because a smile was on their face. And it's just, I've actually seen people, after, when you see what's a big one, where they even seems like an entire load has been taken off their back, and they'll straighten up. They'll be slumped over, and they'll straighten up.
I've had people tell me as they're putting those bad feelings into their hands, in that soul tie prayer, but where their hands are getting heavy. They say, my hands are really getting heavy with all this. And then as they lift it up to Jesus in that soul tie prayer, as they lift them up to Jesus, suddenly their hands are light. He takes them. It's so supernatural the way that comes off. It just blows me away as I get to sit there and observe it all.
And it's amazing. Praise the Lord on that. But again, when it talks about that 5:8 and went down to but resist and firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren, that in the Bible cross-references to James 4:7. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the command is there for you to do it, and if you resist, he will go. He will go. That's the type of power that you have, is the enemy will flee. So the room of that Christians is, again, as we reminded you, as the men said for the prayer meeting, that I think it was Brother Paul said, I'm working now more where I'm starting to command it where I didn't command it in the past. And I think it was Brother Tim that said, sometimes they say, well, Lord, if you would you heal this guy? Would you? you know, these things instead of just saying, in Jesus' name, cancer go, or Jesus' name, command a heart to line up, you know, from a heart attack or something to that effect, whatever whatever the need is speak directly to it. And you will see a change in things running out there if you do these things. It's just, it's not just Pastor Cox and Ralph and Richard and the men that do the prayer meeting that have this authority. It's every single Christian is commissioned by the general, the commander-in-chief. Those are the red letter words of Jesus. Quite possibly could have been some of the last words he said on this earth in that form that he was there. Those last words there was do these things. And if the general says to do it, as a good soldier, we need to salute and walk on in that in that authority that he told us to take.
Amen. Amen. So true. Well, there's so many cases that we get to see that happen. And, you know, on the soul ties also, by the time we finished, and most people would have two or three, four ungodly soul ties that need to be broken. You see such a change in their face even so many times. You can see they already are feeling lighter. And I've often said to a person, well, if you left now, you're already better. And they are. They may have more to do, and you usually do, in fact, but it is a huge area of relief. That's why we do the breaking of ungodly soul ties first. We've done deliverance all kinds of ways through these decades, and the pattern, the steps, the way we do them now, the model of deliverance is, we haven't changed it now in quite a few years because it just keeps working. So, you know, we don't want to overfix it, right, Ralph?
That's right. Work smarter, not harder. But the great thing about the soul ties is it helps the Christian fulfill the command that's laid out in Matthew 18, because you are working on forgiving that person for what's happened.
Yes.
You forgive them the parts that they played. You confess the parts that you played, but the key is you are forgiving. You're forgiving them. And when you forgive them, you're able to take that disappointment, that bitterness, anger. I'm trying to remember. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm trying to remember the things that are there, but there's a whole list of things that suggest to say. And I know that as I've done deliverances on people, sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead me to say something else, and then the person who's actually who's going through the prayer themselves, I've seen them start adding things there, you know, start confessing. I remember one gentleman was just he was so distraught that he was kind of a workaholic, and he didn't feel like he was there enough for his daughter. And I mean, he just laid that out, and you could really see a difference in him when he laid it out, because he just felt like he was a failure as a father, because he spent so much time working and wasn't there enough, and his mind wasn't there enough for her growing up. So that's the great thing is it helps the Christian fulfill the command of Matthew 18, where we're told to forgive. In fact, when they asked of Jesus how many times to forgive, he says 70. Does no, 70 times 7. And so it's just, there's no end ifs about it. Your command,
well,
to your brothers. Your command to your brothers.
It's so major that on our checklist in the interview, if we find that they haven't forgiven someone, there's the questions are, how'd you do in the forgiving? You know, at the end of the door closing prayer, and if we find out there's someone they still haven't forgiven, my instructions to the teams are, don't go any further until they've dealt with it, because we're just wasting time. Those demons will hold on to that. We've seen this over and over and over, and the same applies to forgiving ourselves. If that's the next question on our interviews checklist. And if they say they're working on it or they're trying, that isn't good enough. They have got to do it before we go any further. In the teaching, I tell the people, if The biggest of these doors is the unforgiveness door, and tonight is your night to forgive absolutely everybody, of course, including yourself. And if you don't want to do that, you might as well leave, because this is not going to work. You won't get delivered, and you won't get healed either. It blocks physical healing besides the inner healing. So the teams are pretty well aware of that, that to stop right there until you've had victory in the forgiving. If they're hung up on don't want to forgive somebody, the enemy will just feed off of that constantly.
And remember out there, folks, that the forgiving is not for them, it's for you. And it doesn't mean that they don't, that they're not going to be held accountable for what they did. They may deserve what's coming for them, but that's not for you to be okay. Well, they're getting what they're coming. I'm not care and this and that. And the Lord said to forgive, especially if they come and ask you to forgive. But even if they don't, just forgive, because it's just not worth it. Because it doesn't say, well, if you don't forgive, I'm going to do this to the person that wronged you. It says, I'm going to do this to you, hand you over to the tormentors, over those other torturers. So it is just such an important part of Christianity, is to practice that. And,
it's a choice to forgive. And the feelings may linger, but the real person, all of us having been made in God's image, we can choose anything. You know, we can choose witchcraft if we want to, we can choose Jesus if we want to, and we can choose to forgive if we want to. Well, you need to want to so you can get free from these 36 some odd spirits that are tormenting your life, you know. So it's a wonderful trade out. And Ralph says, it doesn't mean the person deserves to be forgiven. This is for the person, for you. This is for you to get free. Otherwise, the demons, as they said in Matthew 18:34 and 35, as Jesus said, they have a legal right. You'll be turned to the tormentors, and the demons torment accordingly if there's unforgiveness. And most of the time, they won't even go. Even though we have all this power, they've been given a legal right by the person to stay there. And so it's up to the person to choose, even though the person, the one that needs to be forgiven doesn't deserve it, to go ahead and make the choice so they can get free tonight in this ministry session. And most people will finally come around, and same with forgiving yourself. A lot of people have a hang up on that. And of course, the enemy is always there yelling in the person's ear, don't do it. You know, they don't want you to forgive.
So we are out of time, Pastor. We are out of time. So
okay. Well, blessings.
I will talk to you next weekend. God bless everybody out there. Thank you for joining.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place.